last week, I really wanted to make sure that our church understood, you understood really what's in our heart about what I believe this next season in the life of Wave Church looks like. And so what I want to do is basically show you from Scripture the four basic needs of mankind. And there's a lot of different theories and all this, but I want to bring us back to our original design. How many know we did not come from an ape? How many know we're not evolved? We're not some Neanderthal that developed. We're not some explosion from this random, you know, universal cosmos, you know, bang, that we actually are created by God, and God created us with His plan and His purpose in mind. Do you believe that? So what I want to do today is just explain to you what I feel like from Scripture, the four basic needs that people have. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian, everyone has these four basic needs. And this is number one, is to know God. Can we say know God? To know God. The Bible says, they that know their God shall be strong and will do exploits. So the first basic need is to know God. In Genesis chapter 1, this is what the Bible says. God said, let us make man in our image. Let us, our. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity. God said, let us make man in our image. In other words, God is not alone. He's three in one. So God in and of himself is community. He is not singular. He's actually a Trinity, plural. Have you got it? So if we've been made in the image of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and then he said, let us make man in our image. We're made in his image. We're made in his likeness. And then he made Adam. And then he said, it is not good for man, Adam, to be alone. Why? Because we've been made in the image of God, who is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And he's looking at Adam, even though God is there, God is saying, this isn't enough. People need relationship. People need identity and community. And identity and community is found in a relational environment. He made Eve. And then he said, be fruitful and multiply. Now, he was certainly talking about have children, reproduce, but in your life, be fruitful, be successful. Whatever you touch, may it work. Come on, somebody say amen. So be fruitful. In other words, in your job, in what you do, be fruitful at it. Be effective. Be a producer. Be efficient. And multiply. Don't just do something that'll do, but have increase. You with me here? And I believe they're the four basic needs that bring it all back to the original design of how God made us. And I just believe right there it's found. Number one, to know God. You'll never know who you are till you know who He is. You'll never know your purpose and who it is that you were created to be if you don't know the Creator. Because we've been made in the image of God. And everything of the devil is to try to take people away from, number one, just knowing God. And let me just make it loud and clear that when we come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, everything we do at Wave Church, I know the camera people really freak out when I move around. Praise the Lord. But I think it's good to keep them guessing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's just good sometimes to give the camera people something to do. Hallelujah. Everything we do at Wave Church is to make sure on a Sunday morning, there goes the lights, they're turning them on, they're figuring, everything we do at Wave Church is to make sure, watch these lights come on, watch, any second now, there's going to be lights that come on. You stubborn, rebellious people, everything we do is to make sure that we're giving people the opportunity to know God. In our worship, it's not just a ramp up to the preaching. We are wanting to open heaven and have people to experience the presence of God. In our giving, we give not because we feel sorry for the church. We don't just give because we feel sorry for God. We don't just give because it's just something. We give because we want to see the church alive and vibrant and strong and beautiful and efficient and effective, and to give more people an opportunity to know God. In our preaching, I'm not just trying to pump up some theological sermon, some sort of exegesis we can all walk out and we're more eloquent doctrine, and we're more well-versed in the depth and the knowledge of Scripture. But my greatest prayer is people find God. Everything we do on Sunday. People say, Pastor, why don't we do more of this? Why don't we do more of this? What we want to make sure of is we have more people finding God. Can you say amen? Everybody say no God. Secondly, we want people to find community because God, listen to it, in the beginning, God, he said, let us make man in our image. So it all starts with God. You got to find God. Can you say amen? Number one, you got to know God. Get it right, Steve. You got to know God. Number two, you got to find community. Let us make man in our image. This is where we go deep. And Sundays, we're going wide. All are welcome. Amen? Everybody's welcome. Everybody is welcome. Asian, Filipino, Mexican, Latino, everybody is welcome. African American, white, lily white. Amen. For those who haven't seen much sun for a while, praise God, everybody is welcome. This will never be a church of segregation. This will never be a place where there's just one folk and that's it, us four and no more. Everybody is welcome, amen. Homosexual, straight, lesbian, whatever you want to call yourself, you are all welcome. The house of God is open to you in the name of Jesus. We're not going to judge you. We're going to preach the word of God, but we're not going to judge you. Come as you are. Come one, come all. That's Wave Church. We're going wide. But we also want to go deep in Jesus' name. And in the depth of that, we want people to find community. Everybody needs community. The Bible says that he who isolates himself. It's not other people that isolate you. It's what you do to yourself. He who isolates himself. I just didn't feel like I fit in that group. I just didn't feel welcome. I felt disconnected. I felt disenfranchised. The church is unfriendly. Man, every church I've ever been to has been unfriendly. Every church you've ever been to has been unfriendly. Did it ever occur to you the only common denominator is you? Amen? So he who isolates himself. Listen to this. Seeks his own desire. In other words, there's another ulterior motive. There's something going on that doesn't actually, it seeks, they've got another agenda. Are you hearing me? And then it says, and rage against all wisdom. Well, you got to let me say it the Aussie way. And the Aussie way of putting that is, you're an idiot. I mean, I know some of you don't like saying it. That's probably why I say it, to tell you the truth. But the Bible says, if you rage against all wisdom, you're crazy. You know, the Bible says that you were not created to be alone. It is not good for man to be alone. We are created to be in community. So out there in the lobby today, and I know this is new and it's something I want to make sure that I'm downloading. I'm glad I get to talk to Richmond about it, as well as Seaboard Road and as well as Chesapeake, is we want everybody in all of our campuses, all eight of them, that today every person that's wearing one of these is a community leader. And you'll find them out there as you walk out into our, lobby. I had a wonderful English muffin between services. And praise the Lord. That's all I'm saying. I just almost had it twice. But it's out there. Sorry, that was too much information. Oh, there was too much butter on it. That's what Sharon's looking at me like, Steve, stop that. Move on. I'm in trouble. I can tell I'm in trouble just looking over there. All right. Out there in the lobby, you have no idea the looks I get from my wife. You got, seriously. Sometimes I would love to take photographs and it would all be good. So out there, we want you to sign up. And here's what's going to happen. Community groups are going to start September the 11th. And here, listen to me. I want everybody to say, we're listening, Pastor. Okay, listen now. I want everybody, and I mean this. This is my goal. If you're wondering what my goal is, you can't be serious. I could not be more serious. I want everybody to sign up for a community group because it's not good for you to be alone. Amen? And we're created by God. Let us make man in our image, community, collective. What we're doing is actually bringing you back to your original design of how God created you. Now, everything of culture today does the opposite. You can shop online. Matter of fact, I did that yesterday. I got from Sharon these wonderful Bass Pro gift cards. And I don't know about you, but I'm that older school guy that I don't like the online shopping. Some of you, I know you love it, but I hate it. I like to walk into the store, look at it, touch it, feel it, and then, you know. And so yesterday, I was buying a pair of sunglasses. And I'm thinking, I can't look at it. I can't touch it. But I didn't have to drive all the way to Bass Pro through the tunnel. I looked at the traffic. There was too much traffic. And I went, I'm going to give this a shot. Praise the Lord. And I went online and finally I gave up and gave it to Sharon and she did the whole thing in 3 minutes. It was really frustrating. And I got one of those looks like, you're an idiot. But here's what I want you to do. This is my major goal, that everybody actually gets involved in a community group. Now they run for 10 weeks and then we break for 10 weeks. That's not to say if you're so loving the community group, you couldn't keep going, but we're gonna make sure there are breaks throughout the course of the year because we wanna give time for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that's involved with the church and all the initiatives that we are doing as a church. We are so committed to this community group idea of wanting everybody, everybody, that we really want to make sure that nothing gets in the way of that in terms of all the other stuff that we do as a church. And we're actually looking at even some of those programs to make sure we're really making room for this work. What we don't want is for half the church to sign up and still half of us to miss out. I honestly mean everybody. I would love to see everybody in some sort of a community group. Now, look at the different areas which there are community groups. We've got Bible study, discipleship programs. We've got the Caleb generation. That's all the fearless leaders. How many people here are over 50 years of age? Could you put your hand in the air? Come on, if you need help, get the person next to you to hold your hand up. Come on, give me a wave. Come on, give me a wave. If you're over 50 and proud, put your hand in the air, wave it like you just don't care. Who here is under 50? Let me see your hand. And so it's still a good number of people over 50. Let me tell you something, there's community groups because we do need to identify with people who are in our season and in our life. And there's those opportunities. There's all sorts. There's Wave City Care community groups. There's family and parenting. There's fellowship. There's financial freedom connect groups, community groups. There you go. Looking for the right word there. And what do you want to do? If maybe just you want to put a season of just getting your finances in order, be a part of one of the financial community groups. We're working through programs like Dave Ramsey, Money Makeover and Getting Out of Debt and all sorts of great programs that'll teach you all sorts of health and recreation, high school leadership, marriage, family, men, middle school, military, prayer, recovery, restoration, people getting free of life-controlling habits. Come on, some people just needing deliverance and breakthroughs from demonic powers. Anybody believe in that stuff? Anybody believe in seeing the enemy defeated? For this purpose was the Son of God manifest to destroy the works of the devil. Hey, don't you be looking at what's happening in our nation right now and think this is man versus man. This is not flesh versus flesh. This is the devil at work in our nation trying to bring division because a house divided against itself cannot stand. But we can bind the strong man. We've got victory over the enemy. The church is the hope of the world. And thank God we got answers. It's all found in community, young people, young adults. Oh man, I tell you, I love it. He who isolates himself, here's what I want to do. Just two more thoughts I want to give you. And here it is. You've got to discover your purpose. Everybody say, find God. Come on, everybody say, find God. Everybody say, find God. And then number one, you got to know God. I keep saying it wrong, don't I? I get so excited about it, I keep getting them all mixed up. You got to know God. Everybody say, know God. Then you got to find community. Come on, say find community. So we're going to get it right. You ready? Know God. Find community. And number three, you got to discover your purpose. And this is to me, again, listen to it. Let us make man in our image. In the beginning, God. Know God. Know God. In the beginning, God. Let us make man in our image, community. We're created by God to be in community, not in isolation. But then listen to what he says. It is not good for man to be alone. Don't live isolated. Again, that's the community concept. But then he said, be fruitful. You got to discover your purpose. Everybody here's got a God-given purpose. And your purpose is not my purpose. And my purpose is not your purpose. As unique and as individual as you are is your purpose. I love it. I knew a girl back in Australia. She got saved and she was in the medical world. And she really had it in her heart that she would be part of the breakthrough team that discovered the cure to AIDS back in the 80s. And remember the 80s? Who was alive in the 80s? And I remember the fear and the phobia of AIDS. Literally, that was the time when all the little communion cups went out of the church because people thought that by sipping of the communion cup, you can catch AIDS. And so, you know, which by the way, of course, we know now, you know, there was just a lot of phobia going on, but it actually got rid of those little share the communion, all that stuff is all a totally different thing compared to what it used to be. We do communion different now. We have those little individual cups now. Are you hearing me? And by the way, I'm really glad to tell you the truth because I'm a germaphobe. I'm not afraid of that, but I'm a germaphobe. And I'm like, praise the Lord, I ain't swallowing your spit. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? Are we good? You got to discover your purpose. Now listen to this. Her purpose when she became a Christian was she wants to be part of the medical breakthrough team that discovered the cure to AIDS. Well, we're not quite there, but how many know we're a long way down the track from where we were in the 80s with that incredible, awful disease? Amen? Do you know that? And she goes, I believe God's going to help me be part of that great team. And let me tell you, she was very much involved with the biggest breakthrough research and development, assisted hospital in the whole country. And I love it when people find out what their purpose is. I believe that God created this whole world just for you and I to fulfill our destiny. I believe in God's infinite plan and infinite wisdom that not one day in your life happens that God doesn't already know it's going to happen. So when you get tripped up on yourself and you get disappointed in yourself and you feel disappointed of your own humanity and your own weaknesses, God's going, it's all good. I knew you were going to do that before you ever did it. I still love you. I still have a plan. I still have a purpose. Come on, some of you got a day. Pick yourself up and rediscover your purpose. In Jesus' name. Man, I'm getting myself inspired just preaching. Praise the Lord. I'd go to this church if I weren't the pastor. Well, that's a good thing to know, isn't it? Okay, you got to discover your purpose. And this is where the journey comes in. Let me just talk to you quickly about the journey. The journey isn't a membership class. I just want you to know that. It's not like jump through the hoops and now you're a... Being a member of any church does not make you a Christian. Come on, somebody say amen. It's not a sales pitch to try and get you to join Wave. Matter of fact, it's not an academic style class. I mean, we're not sitting there trying to do some hermeneutical, exegetical, apologetic, you know, anthropology, the doctrine of man and of sin. We're just trying to help you discover, number one, to know God. Number two, find community. Number three, discover your purpose. That's what the journey is all about, just encouraging everybody to make sure you see yourself as being part of the journey. What you will do, however, is learn how to have a more vibrant relationship with Jesus. You'll discover your purpose, why you were created by God. It'll help you discover your gifts, which, by the way, are tied to your purpose. Amen? We don't want to put square pegs in round holes. How many people here can honestly say that just by being part of the church and the community of the church, that you believe you're a better husband, better wife, better employee, just by being in God's house? Amen? That's what we want to do. We want to help you discover your gift and actually discover your purpose. That's what's going to happen in the journey. Not only that, you'll learn the role of the church in equipping you. Listen, in God's infinite plan of what it is that God's called you to do, you'll learn that the church has a vital role in helping you do what God's called you to do. Look at this now, Ephesians chapter 4. I love this. Put it up on the screen if we got it. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. I love it. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors to equip his people, watch this, for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up and until we all reach the unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son, and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So this is what the Bible says. Watch now, that God gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. It says he gave them to equip the saints for the works of service. In other words, it is the role of the church to help you do what God has called you to do. How to raise a family. How to manage your finances. It's the role of the church. God's plan as Christ has portioned it. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists to help you do the works of service. Sometimes people come and say, Pastor, do you know what the church should be doing? And I'm going, you don't understand how this works. The Bible tells me that in the church, God gave people giftings to help the saints do the work. So the saints aren't saying to the some, you got to do the work. The some's there to equip the saints to do your individual thing that God has called you to do to help you discover your purpose. And so Journey is for everyone who hasn't been through it. It's to help people grow in their leadership, to expand your capacity. So let me just give you what it looks like, because this is all new. Coming up in September, we'll be rolling this out. There's going to be service format changes. You're going to see some things, really emphasis of what this. Number one, week one is simply welcome to Wave Church. And what that is it's going to be offered in our 11 o'clock service. It will soon be. We're going back in terms of the summer service times. We'll be finishing here sometime soon. Right now, it's still 8:30, 10:30, which, by the way, have you enjoyed a little extra time maybe on the beach and everything else? It's been good, hasn't it? Praise the Lord. I know some of you all can't wait for it to go back to 9 and 11. And all I know is, whatever time it is, some of you will still find a way to come in late. Praise the Lord. I'm just glad you come, but, you know, just remember, if you're slow getting to God's house, don't be surprised. God might be slow in answering your prayers. I'm just saying. Praise the Lord. You know I'm never going to stop talking about that, don't you? But I want to do everything I can to encourage people. Come on, let's make sure but just being in church isn't enough. It's being there. Being the church. Amen? Being the church. Everybody say being. And so I want you to think about it. As of September, what we're going to do is we're going to be launching community groups and we'll be making some service format changes. And during our 9 o'clock, what is our normal 9 o'clock service, during the 11 o'clock, we're going to offer Journey. So we're encouraging people who've never been for a four-week class to come to the 9 and then in the 11, go to Journey. It runs for 1 hour. Or you can come back in the 6 o'clock service and go to the Journey there. Just give us 4 weeks. That's all we're asking for. 4 weeks, 1 hour. You'll know when it starts. You'll know when it finishes. And in those 4 weeks, number one, you're going to hear Welcome to Wave Church. You're going to learn about the history of the church, and you're going to learn a lot about the vision of the church and where we want to see ourselves going and how does a Christian grow. Number two, you're going to discover your design. And that's on the second Sunday of the month, which is 201. Then week three, develop your leadership. And this is actually an important part of helping people grow. And developing your leadership is all about, you're going to actually do, it's in a lab format. Actually, it's me speaking, actually. Week two is actually discover your design. You're going to do a personality and a gifting profile. You will walk out of week two knowing what your personality profile is and what your gifting profile is. How many think that's a good thing? It'll be a lab, interactive thing. It's going to happen during the 11 o'clock and a.m. and the 6 p.m. What I'm asking people to do, and I want you to know, because some of you go, is this not for me? I don't need this. I'm already a Christian. Yes, but as we bring people, you need to know what it is we're trying to get them to. Are you hearing me? And you need to know this is actually how we are created. Every person has a need to know God. Every person needs to find community. Every person needs to discover their purpose. And that's what the Journey to me is all about, this four-week class that we're going to be offering. And then the fourth week, number three, is develop your leadership. Number four is just join the team, helping people. Look at all the different teams we've got here that people can serve in. And these are in the broader headlines. If we have that, let's put that up there. Praise God. Can we put them all up? Praise God. Is that all of them? I got a whole list here. Is it? Okay, so we don't have the graphic with everybody. So, we're going to, okay, can we go back to the beginning? I'm sorry, I didn't realize you're going to do that. So we got the A team, that's the administration team. When you do your personality profile and your gifting, there are some people who are so gifted administratively. Let me be the first to say, I'm so appreciative of people who've got this gift. That is not my gift. Anybody who knows me knows I'm the most easily distracted person in the world. Like, seriously, I don't know, I seem to be getting worse as I get older. I don't know what's happening to me. But, and so people who've got an administration gift that help in the organization, the development from A to Z, and there are people who are gifted for that. And let me tell you, there's room for you to serve in the life of Wave. There's the baptism teams. There's discovering your purpose and helping people serve on a team and community groups and hosting a community group, design team. Do you know what McDonald's? I love McDonald's because they actually have a management slogan. Oh, praise the Lord. TV crew, I'm keeping you busy today. McDonald's have a slogan. Listen to what it is. Now, a friend of mine, you want to talk about helping someone discover their purpose. Just a friend of mine back in Australia helped write the mission statement of McDonald's. I mean, that's a pretty good thing to say you're involved in. McDonald's is a reasonably successful company. And he was part of the team and the advertising agency that partnered with McDonald's. And he literally helped create and write the mission statement of McDonald's, which, by the way, I kind of still know. And so do I know. I preached about Coca-Cola. And I'm thinking about that because what he did was he told me the management slogan for McDonald's, listen to it, talking about the design team, is always changing, always the same. In other words, there's always something about McDonald's that will always be fresh and new and vibrant. That it's not just same-o, same-o. That there's always something new and creative and edgy that McDonald's will be doing, whether it's in the offering of some kid's toy, like Larry, praise the Lord. Just recently, Larry and I, he had a bet with me that the Yankees would beat the Mets, and I said, no way, DeGrom is pitching for the Mets, and we're going to win. And Larry said, I'm not allowed to bet you. My wife has forbidden me from betting because every time Larry's bet with me, and by the way, you say, wait a minute, you're talking about you're betting with the pastor? You better believe I'm going to bet on my Mets. And so every time Larry's lost the bet. One time, anybody remember the time Larry had to shave his head? Because that was the condition of the bet. Whatever team lost, the other person had to shave their head. Larry, did you shave your head? And so Larry was not allowed to bet. So I said, Larry, let's do a Happy Meal. So we shook on it, and I gave Larry the money for his Happy Meal because the Mets lost. Which didn't make me happy, but it did Larry. Praise the Lord. Well, McDonald's, that's all good. But listen to it. Always changing. Watch. Always the same. I believe when it comes to God's house, there will be something about the church that is always changing. And yet they'll always be the same. The Word of God is the Word of God. It is our true north. People need to meet Jesus. People need to find community. But there's always going to be something fresh. That's what the design team. Look at all this creativity they have here on the set and the set and the design and the lobby. And you're about to see that happen out there in the lobby. I remember the first time I came, the first thing I did at our church was pick up this piece of tape that was on the floor, on the carpet. And people thought I was kicking the Holy Spirit out of the church. They said, you're removing the renewal tape. I said, the what tape? Renewal tape. And I said, what's renewal tape? That's where renewal happens. That's where people stand and the power of God hit them and they fall over. And I said, so all we need to do to get the power of God to come into the church is put tape. Why don't we put tape on everybody? Let's put tape on the seats. Let's put tape on their fire. Let's just people tape when they come in, tape when they go out. It's not the tape that brings renewal. Come on. There's always changing. We're always the same. I thought that's a good picture of the church. The message is sacred. How we deliver it needs to change. Like a singing, having to thank God in the church, we've got some new songs. Nothing wrong with the old ones when they were new. That's why the Bible says, sing unto the Lord a new song. I think God in heaven's going, please. Who? Haven't been there back in the day when you had one cassette in your car and you were driving a long distance. And you were so sick of that cassette, you never want to play it ever again. I think that's how God in heaven feels sometimes. Could you please sing a new song? The design team helped keep us alive and edgy and creative. God, who made the universe, everything out of nothing, created trees, created mankind, the individuality of mankind, the nations of the earth, the people of the earth, the rivers, the animals, the birds, the sea, the ocean, and God in his creativity. And we can't do something new. For goodness sake, when was the last time you did something for the first time? Come on. These are people who are creative, and I love them. Let's go back. Praise the Lord. I'm not done. Okay, facilities teams, first responders. You know there's a whole medical team that works in every service to make sure if anybody has a need that we can medically respond to that need. Every week you can serve. You can make a difference. Come on. Look at this. It says in the greeters team, the journey team. That's all the people who help bring people through the journey. And then the host team. Look at all this list. I've got to keep moving. The media team. Man, I love our media team. They're amazing. The next steps, the information. Our media consultant said that in the last, I think it was the last 6 weeks, we have actually been in the top three of not just local TV shows, but often will bump out. Listen to this. This is a little boast, if you like, in the flesh. But actually, several times we've bumped out Joel Osteen as the number one spot. Wave TV, the number one religious programming in all of Hampton Roads. There's a whole lot. Thank God for the media team. These are people who are serving, knowing their purpose, and they're making a difference to tens of thousands of people. It's just amazing. Our resource team, our production team, the prayer team, the parking team. I love the parking team. There was a day when this church was mean to our parking teams. I think it's changed, hasn't it? As far as I know there was a day when people would say, if you don't get out of my way, I'm going to run you over. That's gotten better, hasn't it? Unless they've all been run over and we don't know about it. Amen. There's lots of different ways you can serve. And that's what they all are. There's a whole list of them. Is there more? Let's go to another graphic. Look, set up, take down, central team, check-in, team host, central. These are people, you know, we got a great group of singers and musicians that come here early in the morning. How many know you can't just ask them to rock up and sing, and you got to feed them and give them coffee, and there's people who come in and just offer hospitality and look after them because they get mean and cranky if you don't give the creative people something to drink. You got to give them a cookie. I'm just saying, there's a place for you somewhere and helping you discover your gifting in Jesus' name. Come on, somebody say amen. So many different areas. And here's just the last one. I want to encourage everybody. Every say, know God. Every say, find community. Every say, make a difference. There's so many different ways where you can actually, number three, discover your purpose. Dear God, I had this down so good. I've so memorized it, but I keep, okay, every say, know God. Find community, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Okay, I want you to hear this. That's what the journey is all about, is to understand about what it is to discover your purpose. That's what the journey's about. Everybody understand that? That's that four-week program. Everybody understand that? To know your purpose. But number four is to make a difference. And we want everybody to understand that there's an opportunity for you to genuinely make a difference. That in terms of what I believe, it is the will of God for you not to make a living. It is the will of God for you to make a difference. Do you believe that? But you never do that. You'll never ultimately do that. Make a real difference. I mean, I was talking about Coca-Cola. And thank God for Coca-Cola. I personally am a Coke fan. Do I have any Coke fans here? I hate Pepsi products. I hate them. Pepsi is of the devil, in my opinion. I mean, I'm with Coca-Cola on this. I've preached a whole sermon on Coca-Cola's mission statement. I'm a lover of Coke. Coke says that every other cola is a counterfeit cola. Amen to Coca-Cola. If I hear this Diet Pepsi, I just want water. I don't want the counterfeit. I want the real thing. Any friends here? I got someone walking out on me on that comment. They're such a Pepsi fan. I was only kidding. I'm not serious. But listen to me. I want you to catch it. If that's Coca-Cola, and people who work for Coca-Cola, I pray that they enjoy their job. I pray they feel like they're doing something, that in the process of that, they understand their purpose. I pray that they would find community. I pray that they know God. But ultimately, at the end of the day, all you're going to do, you're selling cola. What are we doing in the church? This is heaven and hell. This is the real thing. This is the real thing. Excuse the Coke pun. This is like heaven or hell. This is life or death. And let me tell you, I think it's great people find community in a cycling group. I saw one of them yesterday. They really annoyed me because they were slowing me down. And I tell you how much they were slowing me down. I was being overtaken by other cyclists. Praise the Lord. I'm thinking, what is going on here? Could the group in front go faster? And I'm there patiently waiting. But I'm thinking, guys, move. Let me get around you. But no, I sat there patiently. And I'm looking, they'll get healthy. And that's a good thing to be a part of. But let me tell you something. If you don't know God, what does a profit a man? He's fit and healthy, but ends up in hell. And great, I applaud Coke, and may you do well, Coke, and God bless you, Pepsi, and God bless you, McDonald's, and all the rest of it. But let me tell you something. The church is ultimately the hope of the world, and it's what makes the ultimate difference. And if you don't have something in your life where you feel like who you are and what you're doing is making a difference for eternity, I'm telling you, we've missed everything. And every area of serving in the life of God's house is equipping you for leadership to be more efficient, be more effective. Know your purpose, be fruitful, is to be, listen, know your purpose is to be fruitful, but multiply is to make a difference. And we are here in the church to make a difference. Your life, your calling, your purpose ultimately is to make a difference, not just for a Coca-Cola company, not just for McDonald's, not just to look good and be trim, but ultimately to make a difference for the kingdom of God, where the heaven will be more populated than hell, whether there be more people in heaven than there are in hell. Come on. And all of that, whatever community group that exists outside the church is wonderful, but let me tell you, ultimately the church is the hope of the world. So why wouldn't we be serving on a team and making a difference for community, making a difference for eternity in Jesus' name? Come on, somebody say amen. Business people who throw themselves into great community programs, I applaud it. Habitat for Humanity, founded on Christian values, I might add. Are you hearing me? Great things. I was watching on TV yesterday about rescuing pets that had been abandoned. Wonderful. But what about people? What about people who don't know Jesus? We all get horrified about the gorilla that was killed because a little child fell into the gorilla pit. While that was happening, a Christian was martyred and his head was cut off. And we heard more about the gorilla than a person who lost their life. Can I tell you, friends, we are here to make a difference and not just make a living, but we're here to make sure we damage hell. We got one shot at this. There's not a go-around, there's not a mulligan, there's not a redo. And let me tell you, if at the end of the day, all we've done is build something for our own satisfaction and our own purpose, we have missed why God has put us on the planet, is to make a difference, be fruitful, and multiply. Somebody say amen. I'm encouraging you. This is not just, you know, oh, well, how long do we have to do that for? When do we get to a place where we don't need to do that? Until all of America is saved. But then we're going to go beyond America. We're here to make a difference. You don't graduate ever from serving. Somebody say amen. You never graduate. Well, I've done that. What's next? Well, there are times when God transitions into a new level of responsibility. But can I just encourage you, see, number one, listen to it, is to know God. Number two, find community. Number three, discover your purpose. And number four, make a difference. No, listen to me. I'd like to add the word, but it doesn't work. Eternal difference. Eternal difference. In Jesus' name. Not just trying to make your life better. Making heaven more populated. That's going to require sacrifice. That's going to require commitment. That's going to require people finding their purpose and discovering it's found in community. And it's only ever rolled to me discovered in the church. I believe it with all my heart. I believed it before I was a pastor, and I believe it to this day, and I believe it more now than I ever have in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Sometimes I see wonderful people with wonderful gifting, something, if they could only put that to work for the kingdom. If only they could put that wonderful resource for seeing the kingdom. musicians, singers, come on back. I praise, I'm preaching myself over again now, aren't I? Let me tell you, I'm passionate about this. I care about this. It's why Christ died. It's why Christ died. It's why Jesus came. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him. We got Christians often just living for themselves and just living out their own purpose without it being an eternal kingdom purpose. And I'm asking us, come on, can we understand the four basic needs of people? Number one, to know God. Amen. In the beginning, God. Listen to this. Number two, find the community. Let us make man in our image. We got to help people get back in to community and relationship. You can take your mask off in those moments. You can love on people. You can help people. Pastoral care. Amen. And then to discover your purpose. Who are you? What did God gift you in? What is it, the talents that you've got that are unique to you? And then how can you actually make a difference? Because God said, be fruitful. Amen. That's God's plan for your life, is to be fruitful. And then to multiply, to make a difference. Not just for you, but heaven will be more populated than hell. People out there in the parking lot, they're making a difference. They're the first impression anybody gets about when they come to the church. Amen. And I thank God for them. They ought to be the happiest, smiliest. You don't want one of these people out in the parking lot. You want people, because you know, I realize every Sunday people coming with their story. Every Sunday people coming, will I still have a marriage next week? Will I still have a job next week? People coming, what's life all about? I've tried, something's missing. I understand the church is the only place where people ultimately will find what it's all about. Do you receive the word? Come on, give the Lord a hand. I've gone over. Why I'm preaching about this is because it's going to be rolling out here, and I want you all to know what we're doing, and it's always changing, always the same. There's going to be some role changes. There's going to be some ministry involvement changes, and I want you to know it's all with an intentionality to be better than we've ever been before, always changing. Will you work with us on this, church? Maybe that you, the role that you once played maybe won't be quite the same as what it was. It's not that that's no longer valuable. We're just trying to be more strategic. We want to help you find a new place in the new initiative, what we're trying to do. Is that good? Say, we're with you, Pastor. Come on, say, we're with you, Pastor. And I want to say there's room for you in Jesus' name. I love it. I need a community group. I need it. Are you hearing me? People like this guy, when we get together, in our building team. That's my community group. Honestly, it is. I look forward to that more than any other meeting of the week. Getting together with Ed and other guys, and we just talk about where we're going as a church and what we can do and how we're going to get involved. The provision for the house offering, just under $800,000, and making a difference for our community. If we could just get people to come onto the property, that's a good start. But if you're on a team and you're on the parking team, if you're on the facilities team, you can make this place look amazing with all the how the trees are cut, trimmed, and how the grass is, the edges are trimmed, and we're presenting God's house to our community as something that is vibrant. She is beautiful. Amen. If you're driving a bus, you're making a difference. If you're bringing people to wave, you're making a difference. Come on, you're making a difference. Amen. Is it coming out of me? I hope it is. I hope some of us, all right, we're going to do this. We're going to get on board. We're going to get involved. We're not just going to come here and sit here on Sundays. Now, every say tonight, Maury Davis is a friend of mine. I met him a couple of years ago. When he was 18, 19 years of age, he committed a brutal murder. And he went to prison. He got sentenced for 20 years in jail. And a preacher called, what was his name, Josh? You always get his name right. Oh, J. Don George, pastor of a mega church in Texas, saw on the news this brutal murder, went to visit this man in prison, 19 years of age, and led him to Christ. By the way, there's a ministry I don't think we should be, I think we need to be involved in. I don't think we're doing what we could be doing in prisons. There's a new area. And this guy gets saved, and then that pastor puts him on staff as the janitor in his church and disciples him. and then releases him to go take on a church in Nashville that had 200 people. And now I just spoke in his church. He's built an auditorium that seats 3,500 people. And he is one of the great pastors of the United States who in his past has that testimony. And I'm bringing him here tonight to give you an opportunity to bring people to church who feel like there's no room for them, there's no grace. Anybody, you want to hear an amazing story of God's a God of the comeback, he's a God of the second chance. There's nothing you've done that God cannot forgive you and help you discover your purpose in Jesus' name. I want to encourage you to bring as many people as you possibly can and hear a story of God's saving grace. It's going to be amazing. And here's how I want to close this service right now. I'm giving it back to Richmond and Seaboard. Thanks, guys. We love you. I still got Chesapeake. I still got our online audience. We still have even our TV audience. Look at me now. And I said it this morning. I was praying about this morning's altar call. I don't just want to do an altar call every Sunday, just like same-o, same-o. And I was really praying this morning. I was listening to the Gospel of John on an audio book as I was just praying about this morning's service. And I was listening to Jesus tell his disciples about, okay, this is all about to go down. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's praying, Lord, somehow get me out of this. And he surrendered himself again to the will of God. And I was thinking about this morning of this altar call right now. And I was thinking about there are people here this morning. And I really feel the Holy Spirit prompted me to challenge you about your spiritual temperature. Like, there are people here this morning, and in a sense, your love for God has gone cold. And as much as your love for God has gone cold, commensurate to that is your allurement back into the world has increased as much as your love for God has diminished. And I'm here today, prompted by the Holy Spirit, to talk to you about the commitment you made to follow Christ and to challenge you to re-up. To challenge you to make a decision today that I'm not going to let my love for God go another minute the way it is any longer. I'm going to make a decision right here in this service this morning to just realize there's only one way to live for God, and that's sold out 110%, and I'm not giving the devil another day of neutrality. I'm not giving the world another day of an opportunity to lure me back to it. This morning in this service, I'm going to make a decision. I mean, I know I'm talking to you, and I know that you love God, but it's waning, and I'm here to challenge you today. Come on, get your love for God back. Get your fire for God back. Get your passion for God back. Say yes to God again this morning. Say no to the world again this morning. And I want to talk to you. I want to pray for you. If you say, Steve, that's me. I've noticed even my love for the Word. I've noticed even my reading of the Word of God in prayer. I noticed even my commitment to and passion and excitement about even just going to church isn't what it was. And I feel the pull of the world trying to pull me to other things. And this morning I'm here to say, come on, come on, come on, listen to me. Make a decision today. Devil, no. I'm not giving you another moment, another thought, another opportunity. I'm making a decision right here this morning to get right with God. And then, of course, I always want to pray for people who've never given your life to Jesus. I want to pray for people who once prayed a prayer, but you know today, you're not living for God like you once were. Who's going to believe with me? People are going to meet Jesus. Amen. About half of you. Who's going to believe with me? People are going to meet Jesus. That's what this church is all about. There are other churches that have shorter service times. They get through this a lot quicker than here. And there's other churches that have a whole lot longer service times. Me, I don't like long. But I like fruitful. Amen. Here's what I want to do. I want to ask you, in a moment, when we close our eyes and we bow our heads, if you'll say, Steve, pray for me. Steve, you're talking to me. Steve, I don't know Jesus. I'm not yet a Christian. I've never had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, but this morning I want to. Maybe this morning you're one of those. I was praying. I was thinking about Jesus in the garden. Jesus in the garden was literally praying, God, get me out of this. And that's what really prompted that thought to challenge people about their love for God waning. It's Jesus in that moment realized this is going to cost. This is going to cost me everything. And there are people here, and that's the decision you're at right now. This is going to cost you something. And you need to make that decision. I'm just going to say yes to God. Nevertheless, Father, not my will, but your will be done. I want to pray for you. All over the building, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You've never given your life to Jesus. You once did, but you're away from God. You know today, spiritually, your love for Him is waning. And you want to make a decision today, you're going to get it right. Just lift your hand all over the building. Just lift them up nice and high. Let me see it. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Lift them up. God bless you right there. Come on. Hold it up nice and high. High enough and long enough for me to see it. I'll pray with you and I'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Who else? There's a whole host of hands right through there. God bless you there. God bless you there. I'm looking up there in the balcony. God bless you there. God bless you there. God bless you there. Anybody else this morning? I'm talking to you. I see that hand, that lovely lady with the hat there. My last call, if you haven't lifted your hand, come on, lift it now. Lift it. Lift it up nice and high. Let me see it. Amen. I see all those hands right through there. Wonderful. God bless you. Up on the back row on the upper deck, I see your hands. There's another hand right there. My last call, if you haven't lifted your hand, God bless you. I see that hand. I see you, young lady. Fantastic. Church, can we give a lot of hand for every single person? That just made a difference. That just made a difference. The devil just lost his grip on some people here this morning. That just made a difference. Your being here, your worshiping, it's making a difference. I want everybody to pray this prayer. Can you say it out loud? Come on, say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life, to forgive me of my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that I'm drawing near to you and you are now drawing near to me. I thank you my sins are forgiven. I thank you, Jesus, I'm now a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen.